Welcome in to the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. Lots to get through today. Later on in the programme, Craig Burley with us for a very extensive extra time, whether you like it or not. Ali Moreno's here as well. And would you believe it? A man who this time last week had never even heard of Skype will be joining us. You're kind of got to see it to believe it. Steve Nicol will be here from his home studio. Julien Laurent also joining us in a moment. But we start, as we do, of course, every day, bringing you up to date with how the coronavirus is affecting football around the world. Interesting statement made by the National League today. Now, this is the fifth tier in English football. This is what they came out and said. The FA have been asked to assist us with making the decision to officially postpone all remaining National League fixtures and to end the season as soon as possible, to define all reasonable and practical options for the determination of the 2019-2020 season. Julien Laurent is with us. Jules, some speculating that this could have ramifications all the way to the top, all the way to the Premier League. Just explain how.
Yes, I think it will have a domino effect. I'm not sure if it will hit the Premier League because, as you said, National League is the fifth tier. Then you obviously have League 2, League 1, the Championship and the Premier League. It might just not get up there to the Premier League, but certainly in that pyramid, some other leagues will be impacted. If you just think about if the National League decide that their season is void, suppose you should have had two teams promoted into the fourth division and one team from the fourth division to go down because of what happened to Bury that were expelled. If there's no promotion, no relegation from the fifth tier to the fourth tier, what happens to the fourth tier? Do you still promote teams and relegate team? And could you do it the same with the third division to the fourth division? And what happened to the Championship, the second division? So you could see already the domino effect that could have had, especially if the National League decide that basically this season is void and nothing has happened and you go back next season with the same 24 teams that are in the league at the moment this season.
In theory, though, Jules, it shouldn't go all the way to the Premier League. It shouldn't affect them, certainly at the moment.
No, you're right. It should not go all the way to the top of the pyramid. But even if you just think what's going to happen to that fourth and third division, and then that could have ramification and maybe even to the Championship, and then suddenly the whole thing as well is a bit crumbling. And also, if the National League, which is still a big league, semi-pro, and some of the clubs are professional clubs, decide that they void the season, that will also encourage other people. And we talked about Rio Ferdinand yesterday, who thinks that the current Premier League season should be void as well. Other league will say, hang on a minute, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe the fourth, third, second division will say, yeah, that's the right thing to do. This season should be void. Nothing happens. No relegation, no promotion, and we go back again next year with the same teams. And then maybe the Premier League could also think in the same way.
Meanwhile, we've seen a lot of people come together, haven't we, to try and help those affected by the coronavirus over the last 24 hours. Big statements from the football community. Lionel Messi has donated €1 million to medical centres in Barcelona and Argentina. Pep Guardiola has donated €1 million as well, this time to the Barcelona Medical College. Meanwhile, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund players take a pay cut to help pay wages of other club employees. These, of course, Jules, just a few examples. Many coming together, putting themselves to one side to try and help those affected by this crisis.
Yes, that's right. And again, I think that's what you expected them or you would have liked them to do. And I think that they're just doing what people expected when they earn so much money and when there's all of them role models and followed by so many people. This is the right example to do, the right example to show and for people then to follow up. We could all do something, all do a good deed. Doesn't have to be given €1 million, although you probably have enough money then to do so. But, you know, we can all do something and it's good to see those players doing something. Cristiano Ronaldo as well, we have named him, but also pledging a lot of money to help hospitals in Portugal. So this is the right thing to do and I'm glad to see so many of them. And again, like you said, there's many others that we haven't named doing it as well. It's the right thing to do for sure.
And of course, if you can't donate money, you can donate time as well. And time well spent, because it looks like there will be two Gab and Jules podcasts a week now. The next one will drop tomorrow. You can check that out over on the website. If and when the Premier League season starts up again, Liverpool are, of course, big favourites. Speaking of Liverpool, let's see if it's worked. Steve Nicol, welcome to the show. Congratulations. You did it.
That was never going to be a problem with my technical expertise. Come on. Be honest.
Yeah, right. Steve, I've got to talk to you about what Rio Ferdinand said yesterday, saying, look, this isn't me being an ex-Manchester United player. It's just me being pragmatic. They should just void the season.
Why? You know, the way he was talking, it was all about the safety of the players. Well, the players aren't training. They're not together. The teams aren't together. And when they do start playing again and are together, then there'll be no risk to the players. And there's 10 games to go. Listen, if we were only 10 games in, I would have absolutely no problem with voiding the season. But the fact that you've got 10 games left, which would take... Listen, top-class teams play Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday. Or Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever way you want to look at it. And so, 3 games in a week. It'll take you between 3 and 4 weeks to play 10 games. What is the problem with that? You're going to void a whole season for the sake of 3 to 4 weeks. And that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I'm sure it's not the last time we will discuss that. Meanwhile, I was intrigued listening to Cesc Fabregas on the Arsblog podcast, talking about when he was captain at Arsenal, saying, sometimes I used to go home after we lost and I used to cry. You're in the bus like this, destroyed, and then you hear some players laughing, thinking about where they'll be going out later. Would that be something that would be replicated on the Liverpool bus back in the day, Stevie?
Well, I don't think anyone would actually start crying, to be honest. I think there's a little exaggeration there, but you know, we there were certain rules when you lost, and unfortunately we didn't lose that often. But when we did, you could tell big time, you know. And rule number one, when you got on the bus, keep your head down and don't make any eye contact with any of the coaching staff, particularly the manager. And I'm talking every single one I had, whether it was Paisley or Fagan, Dalglish, Souness, you don't make eye contact. You get up the back of the bus as quickly as you can. We always had beer on the bus, and so once you had 2 or 3 beers, then things would start mellowing a little bit. But certainly you couldn't laugh. You know, yes, you talk, and generally we would talk about the game, but No laughing, nothing rowdy whatsoever. And as I said, the most important thing, even getting off the bus when we got back home, you do not make any eye contact with any of the coaching staff.
Weren't you sent at the top of the bus once to get beer, or ask permission to get beer for Graham Souness?
When I was captain, he had come in and had tried to change the whole diet and what we drank and what we ate and everything else. And so we stopped having beer on the bus, and we were at Forest Away and we were training on the Friday, and the lads had said, look, just go and ask him if we can have at least a crate, because it was only a couple of hours on the bus from Nottingham to Liverpool. So I said, yeah, fine, absolutely, I'll go. And I got him on the Friday, and I said, boss, I said, you know, lads have been asking me to come and talk to you, and is it possible we could have like a crate of beer on the bus? And he looked at me and he said, how long's the bus journey? I said, well, it's probably an hour and a half, 2 hours. He said, if anybody has a problem waiting an hour and a half or 2 hours to have a beer, then they really do have a problem. And I went, you're absolutely right, boss. I'll let the boys know. I was gutted, because I was the one wanting it more than anybody else.
Meanwhile, Stevie, we spoke with Craig yesterday about this, and I'm intrigued to get your views regarding two. I'm going to give you two people to put into the Premier League Hall of Fame. We're focusing on midfielders.
Ooh. Well, well, I tell you what, I'm going to take two from three. The first one, I think, is an obvious one, in Steven Gerrard. He never won a Premier League title at Liverpool, but, I mean, this guy, you talk about a leader, you talk about a great goal scorer, well, a scorer of great goals. I mean, any goal he ever scored is an absolute gem. And then after him, my choice beside him in the middle of the park was between Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira. Now, I would suggest that Patrick Vieira was a better footballer than Keane. I think he was a better passer of the ball. But I think Keane's all-round game in the middle of the park, we know he's a leader. We know he can, if people need kicks, he'll kick them. Not to say Vieira wouldn't, but I think for me, Keane just shades Vieira. And so my two players, right in the middle, right in the heart of everything, would be Roy Keane, Steven Gerrard. Bit of an old school, one would sit and one would go. And certainly, if you had the choice, you want Gerrard to go forward. But you could let Keane go as well. So I think I'll go for those two, right in the heart of everything. And I'll tell you what, I'd love to hear somebody who can come up with a better pairing than Steven Gerrard and Roy Keane.
And finally, Steve, before I let you go, just with your coach's hat on, I'm intrigued how you would have dealt with this situation if you were still coaching. Would you be Skyping, Zooming all your players every day to give them some motivational speeches?
No, speeches wasn't my thing, Dan. I would certainly be in touch with them. I think phoning every day would be a bit over the top. Listen, they will have been given some sort of, or some form of exercises to do while they're at home. Certainly, it's going to be nowhere near a proper training session, but I think you just kind of keep your eye on that, make sure they're doing what they can, and keeping in touch and making sure that they're well and their family. So, you know, maybe every two or three days, probably more three, I would just give them a call. I'm not a Skype guy either. I'm more of a straightforward phone conversation type of guy. So I would be on the phone, calling them up, making sure everybody's okay. And if indeed they need anything, regardless of what it may be.
What do you mean you're not a Skype guy, Stevie? Look at this now. This is beyond Skype, what you have set off. I can't believe this actually works. Steve Nicol, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The front page of Marker on Tuesday led with the possibility of Erling Haaland leaving Borussia Dortmund and moving to Real Madrid in the summer. Jules, you take a look at this. Understandable why Real Madrid would be interested, but could this really happen so soon?
I don't think it will happen this summer, although if you remember a few days ago, Mino Raiola gave this big interview where he said that he would love to bring one of his players to Real Madrid this summer. So there's only two names really that Raiola could be talking about. One is Paul Pogba, and we know that, and we've talked a lot about it on the show, so that's a big possibility. But the other one could be Haaland. And we also know that in the contract that he signed with Dortmund in January, when he joined Dortmund from Salzburg, there's a clause that says that his release clause will then be triggered, or will start from January 2021. So basically in a few months time. And that release clause is €75 million. So if you want to sign him in the summer, then it's a bidding war and anyone can put an offer in, and Dortmund can say they want 150 or 200 million. However, if you're ready to wait for January 2021, then suddenly there's that release clause in place for €75 million. And even if Haaland will only be 20 at the time and probably scoring more goals, €75 million for someone like him looks very, very appealing, especially for a club like Real Madrid, who, like you said, will have at some point to replace Karim Benzema, who's 32 and will be 33 in December, especially with Luka Jovic not really working out so far.
How much of this then is a concession that they're not going to get Kylian Mbappe?
I think it's a good indication that that the Kylian Mbappe mission, because we know this is a big mission, probably won't happen this summer. And I think they realize how difficult it would be to sign him this summer. And mostly because he still has 2 years left on his current contract. So he's out of contract at PSG in June 2022. And PSG are trying really hard to obviously tie him up to a new deal, a longer deal. But Real Madrid, and rightly so, are thinking, hang on a minute. We don't do him now, but in the following summer, summer 2021, then he only has 1 year left on his contract and you can get it for much less money than what you would have to pay right now. Right now, an Mbappe is 300 million euros, no doubt. In a year time, when he only has 1 year left on his contract, it's a different story. And you could really probably looking at 150, 180, maybe 200 to really push. So you could do Haaland in January and still have way enough money to try to do Mbappe in the summer 2021.
Meanwhile, let's go from strikers to defence, shall we? Koulibaly linked to a number of clubs in the Premier League.
Yes, in the Premier League, Manchester United, who have been following up for a very long time, Manchester City as well, who know they have to strengthen their backline and probably replace the likes of Otamendi, John Stones and even Fernandinho, who's been playing there this season. So Koulibaly would be a hell of a signing for Pep, who's a big fan of his, not because of his defensive qualities, if you want, but also how he's able to play with the ball. And if you can think of a Koulibaly-Laporte pair of centre-back, this is pretty good, pretty strong for Man City. So Man City, I think, will be up there with Man United. A club like Liverpool, maybe, if they were to go and try to sign a centre-back, would be for sure one of the contenders. But also, don't forget clubs like PSG, who are very keen as well of signing a new centre-back in the summer, because it's very likely that Thiago Silva will leave the club. And I should remind you that Kalidou Koulibaly just bought a very, very, very expensive flat in Paris. And usually you don't buy that much, that expensive kind of flats, if you just try to go there on holidays for a few weeks.
How expensive?
3 million euros? That's expensive.
It's a drop in the ocean, Jules, someone like you. Meanwhile, Aubameyang, future very much up in the air as to where the Arsenal striker could be moving to. What do you think, Jules?
It's an interesting one. I've been working on recently, and we'll write, I think, very soon for the website as well, is that with what's happening with the coronavirus and everything, there hasn't been much movement between the club, Arsenal, and Aubameyang himself and his people around him, his father and everyone, which means that he still only has this season to go and then one more to go, and after that he's out of contract. So for Arsenal right now, it's either he signs a new deal and then obviously will be there for a longer term, or they probably would have to sell him this summer or then be ready to let him go for free the following one. So it's a very interesting one. Obviously, Aubameyang in a very strong position to decide what he wants to do with his future. Let's not forget, he's the club's captain. This is a club that he's very happy with. But also, at his age, he's 30. He wants to win trophies and to play in the Champions League and things like that. So there's a lot at stake. There's a lot for Aubameyang to ponder with. But I was also told that, for example, the links that he had with Manchester United were not true. There would be no contact from United to Aubameyang or from United to Arsenal either. So it's one to keep a close eye on, but I think there will be a lot of twists between now and the end of the season.
Now, are Arsenal starting to look at contingency plans if indeed Aubameyang does leave?
Yes, that's right. And again, even if Aubameyang stays, you have to prepare, because at some point he will go. And like we said, he's not in his younger age either. And there's one name that comes back a lot in what I'm being told is Marouane Boadu, the Dutch striker from AZ Alkmaar. AZ Alkmaar, one of the most exciting teams to watch, especially for their quite incredible front three and so young as well. Idrissi on one side, Stengs on the other, and then Boadu in the centre, who's been scoring goals for Fern, who made his debut for the national team as well. And funnily enough, a player that could have signed when he was much younger, I think when he was 14 or 15 for Arsenal. He travelled the way to London, visited all the infrastructures at the club, the training ground, the stadium, and in the end decided to stay in Holland. But he's definitely one that the hierarchy at Arsenal are really keen on.
Finally, Jules, Tolisso clearly not happy at Bayern Munich. Could he be going to Inter?
Yes, I think, unfortunately for Corentin Tolisso, it looks like it's the end of the road for him at Bayern Munich. He joined there, remember, for a lot of money from Lyon in the summer 2017. Did quite well in his first season. And then after that, didn't play so much since Hansi Flick's taking over from Kovac. He was very much a Kovac guy, and Flick doesn't really have the same trust in him than Kovac. So he's hardly been playing, and it's been a really frustrating season for him. So I think he will have to go. I think Bayern would be happy to let him go too, especially if other midfielders then come in the summer. And I think Italy, like you said, Inter Milan or Napoli, who were really keen on him before he joined Bayern Munich, I think Italy seems the likely destination for him. Inter, Napoli, maybe even AC Milan if they find the money for him. But that, I think that still expect to be a good 35 to 40 million euros for Tolisso.
Julian Aron, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news. Go over to Transfer Talk over on the website. Interesting read over on the website. Has Alphonso Davies passed Pulisic, Jimenez as CONCACAF best player? Well, in the spirit of that article, we thought we'd welcome Ali Moreno to the show to give us his top five CONCACAF players, starting, surprise, surprise, Ali, at number five.
Well, and I'm going to say it's Christian Pulisic. Now, the potential, the ability, the skill set, they all seem to be there. But the one thing that is missing from Christian Pulisic's game, outside of consistency, is the fact that we consistently do not see him out on the field. So unless you're fit and ready to play and available for selection, then it's very difficult to make an argument for you to be any higher than five on this list. Now, I do think that he's on the upper level and upper tier of talent in CONCACAF. However, if he's not out on the field, then he cannot climb up this list. Now, let's move on to number four. It's a player that is quite similar to Christian Pulisic and Chucky Lozano, a guy that's very good in 1v1 situations, that exploded with PSV Eindhoven, that then we saw a great World Cup from him with Mexico, and you thought, okay, this is where he takes the next step. This is where he takes the next jump. It hasn't happened, but different to perhaps Christian Pulisic, all I would say about Lozano is that at least he's out on the field. Not playing all that great, but at least out on the field. And so that's where perhaps I create the separation between one and the other. Pulisic and Lozano very close in terms of who's number four and number five. As we get to number three, Keylor Navas, a guy that should have never have left Real Madrid, and I don't quite understand why Real Madrid made that decision. However, he goes to PSG, wins the spot, he's the guy, continues to be an important part and a productive player in one of the best clubs in Europe, so I don't think there's any argument there. As for number two, Alphonso Davies. Now, he could be higher in this list, and the reason he's not is because while I do appreciate the impact that he has had with Bayern Munich, I think he has surprised many people, including myself, that he has found a role within a team. You may have thought, you know what, when he signed for Bayern Munich, nah, this is gonna a guy who's going to be on the outside looking in, rather than a guy who has an impactful role. And he seems to have found that with Bayern Munich. The change of pace, the ability, the skills, the raw athleticism. Now, he's still got a lot of room to grow and mature in his game, but man, all the skill set seems to be there, and soon enough he'll be topping this list. As for who's number one, I think there's no question about here in terms of who has been the best player in CONCACAF this year, and that's been Raul Jimenez. A revelation as to what he has brought to Wolves, productivity in terms of goals, his ability to run off the ball, to create all sorts of problems for center back pairings, to go into wider areas, to go into hold up play, and then provide that goal scoring touch also inside the 18 yard box. He has taken his game to a whole entirely different level, and I don't think there's any question that he should be number one on this list.
Good stuff, Ali. Thank you very much. We know who's number one and two on your list of BFFs at ESPN. Of course, Sebastian Salazar and Hercules Gomez. You can catch up with the three together over on YouTube for their latest clip. Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Fear not, though. Extra time coming up next with the one and only Craig Burley.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa.
Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig Burley is with me. Before we get to the questions, Craig, I know you're dying to know what happened with Steve Nicol. You weren't on the show with us. We only had to stop down once, and that's because he started off looking at the camera, and then, like, I don't know where he was going. I think he was looking at himself on the screen. But apart from that, he was okay.
Yeah, what was behind him? I've seen some dodgy photos of the backdrop. What the hell was it?
A lot of dusty old DVDs and some VHSs, I think, of weddings and things like that.
Do you think it was planted there? You know, he's moved that, hasn't he? That was somewhere else in the house. And they've sort of, him and his missus have sort of moved. You can see them moving it over the last couple of days, trying to get it in position and stick all these old DVDs and that. And by the way, never mind that. I can't do this if you're as orange as you were yesterday, because I watched it back this morning just to see, and you need to sack the makeup. I'm telling you now. Other than that, you've been in a really strong. You've ordered one of those sun tanning beds to your house, and you sat in it for a couple of hours yesterday morning. Because I'm telling you what, yesterday, lad, you were orange. You were really orange.
Hey, I think it's a lovely natural tan that I have got over the last few days, Craig. What can I tell you?
Do you know what my missus said? She said, "You're too close to the TV." I said, "Where do you want us to go?" I said, "Where?" You know what I mean? All of a sudden, she's a TV executive. "Oh, you're too close to the TV. That's not framed correctly. Oh, go and walk the dog." God's sake.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, I tell you what, we had a lovely anniversary. Well, we didn't really. I got, you know, a few flowers, box of chocolates and a card. And this is how romantic this was. I got a card and a 12-pack of beer. That's a thoughtful woman, that is.
Hey, you're winning.
Yeah, I told you. She's lucky,
right,
she
let's
is,
get on with
isn't
this.
She?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Have you figured out if you were talking to Frank Leboeuf or Fabian Barthez yet, Craig?
I'm still convinced. I stood in a tunnel in France, against France, one time, and I remember talking to Frank Leboeuf. And I can still remember it, and I can still picture it, because we were teammates, as you know, at Chelsea. And he's telling me it wasn't him. So, I wasn't talking to Fabian Barthez, but I was definitely talking to Leboeuf. I'm telling you that now. I think we even swapped shirts. Or, you know, he's lying. Leboeuf's lying.
Speaking of Leboeuf, obviously in love with McManaman, and fair play to this Twitter handle, Frank McManaman has tweeted in. Craig, who was your favourite coach to play under?
Yeah, what was the McManaman stuff? Did I see something? What did Frank called him what?
Frank just kept going on about him. So I said, who did you prefer, Thierry Henry or Dennis Bergkamp? And he said Steve McManaman.
Oh, he just hates the French. Frank hates the French, doesn't he? He loves the old foreign player. Yeah, that, or he wants a job somewhere. He thinks Maka can get him in there. I don't know. Who is the best? What did you say?
Coach.
Define. I mean, you've got to define coach, because people think coaching is...
Who's the best manager?
Yeah, well, when you define a coach, it was like coaching kids. You're not, a lot of these big professional players, you're not coaching them. It's called a coach, but you're kind of man-managing, you know what I mean? So, uh, I, I, Well, I love Jim Smith, as you know, the bald eagle who passed away just a few months ago as an old school man manager. I love Wim Jansen at Celtic for the way he went about it, but then we were successful then, so it's kind of easy to enjoy that period. But I would say Jim Smith was one of my favourites because he was no nonsense.
Who was the worst?
I'm not starting that now, Sonny. I'm not starting all that. You know, I can't be throwing people under the bus now. So, I'm a bad man sometimes, but I'm not starting that one. No, not answering that.
Rooting
taking
Hill,
the
Arsene Wenger.
Didn't hear that. I didn't hear that question. There seems to be a problem with my connection here. I can't hear. Not going down that
You're
line.
Going
I will
soft.
Leave that
You're
to
going
others.
Soft.
Well, right. I haven't quite got out of anniversary mode from yesterday, so I'm not throwing more people under the bus. It's not that time. Sod off.
What's your favourite World Cup?
Well, what do you think? What do you think?
I don't know. New version Craig might go away from 98. I don't know.
Well, why would I go 98? 1982. My favourite World Cup, because I watched it and as a kid. It's not 98. Just because I scored. All right, 98. I just didn't mean it was my favourite one. What? Tell me something. What's to be favourite about going home after the group stages? So, 1982 was my favourite.
No, oh, I was just supposed to know that, was I?
I've said that in the show before. I've told you about the 1 hour DVD that I had. I can't find it anymore. I used to watch it all the time. You want to try that
well,
yourself?
DVDs didn't even exist then.
Well, it wasn't a DVD, actually. I'm telling a lie. It was a VHS. It was an old video, right? So I've lost it. I don't know where it is. But if I could get it back, that's what I'd watch. That's what I'd watch during this lockdown. Hours and hours upon the 82 World Cup. Alright.
Right. Craig, who was the best German player you ever played against?
Do you know, I might have to come back to that one because I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head, to be honest with you. I'm not saying he's the best, but if I'm thinking about German players that I played against, Karl-Heinz Riedle at Liverpool, the same team as McManaman, I can't really think of too many others at the moment, I'm afraid. I just can't think of any.
Good, thanks for that. Right. Final.
Tell me something. No!
What's happened?
Right, hold on. My earphone came out.
I can't see.
Sorry.
You remember what's going on?
I haven't been to the office to get my earpiece, and I've got one of these buds in, and it fell out.
Right,
I have to keep myself still. So I have to go and get my earpiece. My earpiece fell out, and a worrying thought that we're going to have to do all this again, and so that's why panic set in. Tell me,
Craig, what's your favourite USA today? State?
I never get invited on today. What's the problem? They come round, put all this gear in my house, and I got a day off apart from this talking to you. What the hell's going on? I feel a little bit unwanted. Well, but it's extra time, isn't it? What is it? Bring on the Muppet for the extra time. What's going on? I had some serious points to make today. I was up all last night, writing them all
bring
down.
Bring on the clown, here he comes.
I had all these valid points set, and I never got to talk about them. They've all gone now. Past them, I'm doing
that. Stevie's back.
Yeah, and what was he saying? He doesn't know. Right, give me that last question.
Hurry up.
Get on. What's your favourite USA state?
Arizona. There you go. You didn't know that either. You know why? Golf. You can golf all year there. That's why. Golf all year there. Arizona.
Think.
What do you think it was going to say? Florida?
Let maybe you can move there and just work remotely. That'd be good.
Well, yeah. I tell you what. If I could just come on and do extra time every day, everyone's a winner. Do you know what I mean? And by the way,
you're complaining about doing extra time.
No, I'm gone now, right? By the way, what has Moreno been wearing on his head? Is he doing a show of flying a helicopter? What's he wearing?
I think so.
Is that one of those kids'
new
headphones you get off like you... Where the hell's he got that? He looks he looks an even bigger Muppet than normal. What the hell? I mean, if I was him, I'd refuse to do the show. I mean, it's bad enough at the best of times, unless he's wearing that clobber on his head. What a state he looks. Oh, my God. He's going to have a word for himself. If he's wearing those headphones anymore, I ain't coming on here. I'm telling you that now. Extra time or not, no way. He's got to sort those headphones on, and you got to sort out your colouring, because you were like, oh, you were off the charts yesterday. Telling you that, lad. I'll let you know tomorrow if they invite me back on this programme.
Oh, can we just get on with this? My goodness, come on.
Ask me a question.
Look at Dan and tell me that he's not a... That's what we're doing, the last question now. Craig, look at Dan and tell me that he's not a poor man's Ewan McGregor with a better tan.
Poor man's Ewan McGregor. I bet you wished he had his money, didn't you? Huh? I bet you wished he had his dough. You wouldn't be sat there, would you, doing extra time with me. Do people think you look like Ewan McGregor? I mean, is Ewan McGregor small? I've never met Ewan McGregor. Is he small?
I imagine he's quite small. Yeah, I think so.
Is he? Can he dress? Does he need somebody to take him to shop for clothes as well? Or just you?
So then what's up for the rest of the day now, Craig?
I'm very busy, so... And I wouldn't like to say... Sorry, I just need to adjust this. I wouldn't like to say give it away, but I'm actually very busy now for the rest of the day, and that's why I was sort of trying to push the producer to get this very important part of the show done and dusted with, because I've got so many things to do. And part of that is I'm going to be writing out stuff for tomorrow's show about... You know, how the season's going to restart and how it can work. And if I get invited on, I'll have it all ready. And if I don't, then you know, just another wasted 3 or 4 hours tonight prepping. But, you know that's the way I roll, son. That's the way I roll. Can I go now?
Yeah, never one to complain. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Please leave. Thank you very much, Craig. Craig will be back on Extra Time tomorrow.
Thank you.
Be sure to join us for that. Plus, we'll have real people throughout the show. Craig at the end.